one thing is common for every person on the planet. We all have to people. Peopling is not easy, but it is necessary. There is no one-size-fits-all way to engage with people. Some people outright reject the truth and have bad intentions. Let's just call them what they are: evil. Some people refuse to deal with truth and reality, and when you try to help them, they will turn on you. Let's call these folks foolish. Then, there are those who listen to the truth and allow God's wisdom to transform how they live. We'll call them wise. Learning to people requires us to first determine who we will be and then learn how to deal with each type of person in our lives. The two most important actions for us Christ followers: loving God and loving others. At the end of the day, we can all get better at peopling.
People. We can't live without them. And sometimes it's really hard to live with them. You know, this happens all the time here in town. I talk with pastors, and pastors will say this. It's a joke. They say, I would love my ministry and I love my church if it just weren't for the people. Yeah, there's a little problem there. We all have difficult people in our lives. All of us do. And so what we're doing is we're beginning this series you just saw to learn how to do peopling well. And specifically, how do we respond in the best ways to people who don't do peopling well? And so that's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. Now, this last series we just finished up was called Decision. What we did in that series was we looked at the way of wisdom and how we apply the way of wisdom found in the Bible to decision making. And what we're doing in this series is we're taking the way of wisdom again, but now we're applying it particularly to people and to relationships. Now, peopling, what is that? Well, the Urban Dictionary, the expert on all definitions, gives us a definition of peopling. I think they nail it. Here's the Urban Dictionary: the ability to tolerate people and their stupidity, as well as your own stupidity, in a public setting. To people or to engage in the act of peopling is to be able to remain tactful despite a person's obvious stupidity and or lack of social skills. Okay, rather blunt, but you get the idea. Peopling is the ability to deal with different kinds of people, especially difficult people, and sometimes that includes ourselves. And so what we're going to do in this series is that we're going to discover that the Bible teaches there are three basic kinds of people, three categories of people, if you would. And we've labeled them, we've given them these titles of evil, foolish, and wise. And we're going to unpack those in just a minute. Each of these type of people, what distinguishes them is that they each respond to truth, to reality, differently. And we're going to see that played out. Let me just give you, again, the overview, and then we're going to get into it a little deeper. Evil people, they just reject the truth, and they want to hurt the messenger. They want to hurt the truth teller. And then there's foolish people who just adjust the truth to fit their own way of life. They want to adjust the truth to fit the way they want life to be and the way they want it. They don't listen. They're always right. And then there's wise people. And the wise people listen to the truth and let the truth transform them. The distinction in each of these is how we respond to the truth. So what we're going to do in this series is we're going to learn to identify each type or category of person and then how we best respond appropriately to that person and avoid ourselves choosing evil actions or making foolish decisions. Now, let me just give you a caution right up front, because you could hear this wrongly, and I want to make sure we hear it. This series and identifying people with these three labels, it's not about trying to judge people. That's not helpful. In fact, as we talk about evil, foolish, and wise people. What I want to challenge you to continually do is ask yourself, who am I? And the reality is, in some situations we can be wise, in other situations we can be tempted by evil. In other situations we can make foolish decisions. And so it's not just about looking at others, it's also about looking at ourselves. We always start with ourselves. Jesus said that. Before you judge someone else, look at yourself. Look at the log in your own eye before you look at the speck in somebody else's eye. Start with yourself. It's always important to do that. It's also always easier to see these things in others than it is in ourselves. So we want to start here. And the second caution is that we're not using these labels just to label. We're using these labels to identify people. And the reason for that is not to stop there. It's to figure out then how we best respond. That's the key. It's not just labeling somebody. It's now how do I best respond to that person? And the goal in this whole series is we want to be wise ourselves, and then we want to be able to respond wisely to other people. We all have that person in our life. We all do. They bring chaos into our life. They just upset us. They don't listen. They keep making bad decisions. Maybe even their life's a mess. And maybe it's a part of their life is a mess. And then it's so easy for them to blame others. They don't take ownership of their own problem. They just blame others. And then they even hurt us. You know, hurting people, I've said this over and over, hurting people hurt others. And again, that could be us. We're not just talking about others, it could be us. And we try to help them. We talk, and it doesn't do any good. And we just get frustrated. There are days that I am just done doing what my shirt says. There are days when I don't want to learn to people anymore. I've just had it, and I prefer this. I'm done peopling today. Yeah. Any of you like that? Any of you who are live online like that? We get to that place where we're done peopling, and that's understandable. It is hard work with certain folks. So how do we people well? Well, let's take a look at the ways that we typically try to people. One of the ways that we're sometimes, the approach we take is we try to rescue somebody. And here's what happens oftentimes when we try to rescue somebody is that we end up working harder than the person we're trying to help. That's a clue. If I'm working harder than you, then this probably isn't going to go anywhere well. And then we try to change people. We try nagging. Okay, just admit it if you're one of those folks. We try controlling to no avail. We get angry, even get into fights. Then once the fight's over, we regret what we said or how we said it. And then sometimes we just want to hide. I'm done. I've had enough. Peopling is messy. It's just messy. Sometimes I'm the problem in how I respond. I need to be wiser, and I need to learn to respond to people better. I need to learn to people better. And sometimes it's the other person. How do we best respond to people? So we're going to look at these three kinds of people because these are the categories that the Bible talks about. And if we really want to help somebody, if we really do, then we have to understand the kind of person we're working with so that we can choose the best response to help them, because each one requires a different response. I want you to see these three kinds of people talked about in the Bible. This is going to be our key text for today. It's in Proverbs chapter 9. It's page 299 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you, Proverbs chapter 9. For those of you who are live online, we've got a Bible app that's available there. So you can follow along as well. Proverbs chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. And as I read these, watch for these three categories of people. And the Bible that uses a number of terms to describe these kind, not just the term evil, foolish, and wise, but there are other terms that are parallel as well. So we're going to start in verse 6. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker, that's a foolish person, invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked person, an evil person, incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, foolish, or they will hate you, but rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, the wise, and they will add to their learning. So you see the three types here, and you see how each of the three different types respond to truth. The book of Proverbs is all about being wise and listening to the truth, and the mockers or the foolish, when they hear the truth, when you speak the truth to them, they're going to insult you. They'll even hate you. The wicked or the evil, they will abuse you. They're going to hurt you. And then there's the wise. If you speak the truth to the wise, they love you. They want feedback. They want to grow and be better. They really want to hear what you have to say. So this is all about how we respond to the different kinds of folks. We've said this over and over. Our church has a very clear mission. Mission is what we do. And our mission is loving people to Jesus. Launching passionate people, you and I, to make a difference in our world, wherever God has put us. That's what we're about. In fact, I want you to just repeat it with me, just because it's important to say these words. Ready? Loving people to Jesus. Launching passionate people to make a difference. That's what we're about. Now, the question then becomes, how do we really go about loving people to Jesus? That's the real question. You see, loving certain types is really hard. We know that. And it's not only hard, but when you love them and you're speaking the truth in love, they react negatively. And here's what we're going. The Bible clearly calls us to love. But it also calls us to love wisely. And what I hear too often in the Christian world is that we talk about love and we have to love, but we don't add the other piece, which is also important. How do I love wisely? We're talking about wise love in this series. The right approach with different kinds of people. There are times with a wise person that you speak the truth in love. But there are also times when you stop talking, if you're talking to a fool, you stop talking and you set boundaries. And then there are times you just have to pull away because the person's evil. And you got to know which. And that's what learning to people is all about. That's why we're doing this series. So here's the key foundational principle in learning to people well. This is the foundation of all that we're going to look at. This is what I want you to keep remembering. And this is the main point of our message today. How a person reacts to the truth determines how you respond. The critical question that you're asking is, how does this person respond to the truth? Because how I've learned that they respond to the truth will now determine how I best respond, how I best people in this situation. It's the question is, and remember, this isn't just about them. How do you typically respond to the truth? How do you react when someone says something that's really right, that's wise, that's godly? What's your reaction typically to that? That's what we want to look at. And then, of course, how do others react to that too? Do you get defensive? Do you put up excuses? Do you blame others for the situation? Do you get angry? Are you dismissive? Do you really listen? How do you typically respond to feedback? And that's the test of whether we're this way or others are this way. Are we really acting in an evil way? Are we acting in a foolish way? Are we acting in a wise way in terms of how we respond? And again, this isn't just about them. It's about us as well. Because we can, at different times in different situations, have different aspects of this in our life. So let's start with those who choose the way of evil. And the reason I start here is because they're the easiest to observe and see. And as I use that word evil, the Bible also uses the word wicked. That's a harsh word, and that's not a word that we even like to hear. Most of us, if we're honest, don't really think there's a lot of evil people in our lives. We sort of think the word evil should be just reserved for the Hitler types. But here's the reality. There is a devil who is alive and active in our world. I often refer to the devil as the evil one. It's also a phrase the scripture uses. And remember how the evil one operates. The devil is active in our world trying to tempt and influence people. And what he's doing is he's trying to get people to buy into lies, the opposite of the truth. And the other thing that Jesus said, the devil is the father of lies. So evil is about buying into the lies, and then what the devil is all about, and Jesus says this over, is his whole purpose is to hurt us, even to go as far as to destroy us. And what happens is there are people in our lives, and sometimes we are tempted with this, that we're tempted to buy a lie. And then when the truth is told us, we reject the truth because we've bought a lie. And then the reaction that we tend to give back, or others tend to give back in that way, is that we want to hurt them. Remember the proverb we read, if you speak the truth to a wicked person, they're going to abuse you. They're going to hurt you. And that happens. Now, how do we respond when an evil person is in our life? And hopefully we don't have a lot of those people in our lives. But they will come. How do we respond when the person is operating from this way? How do we react to them? Well, again, an evil person is allowing the devil to tempt them, and that temptation will result in them wanting to hurt you. So your response, and this is your only good response, is to get away from them. Protect yourself. That's how you respond to an evil person. You flee. The Bible says about the devil, you resist him. You know, you don't want to be around him at all. You want to avoid him. And hear this. If the person truly is operating out of evil, they have bought a lie, they're rejecting the truth, and they're going to hurt you, you're not going to be able to help them. Now, listen to this carefully. You can love them, but you can't help them. Does that sound strange? What do you mean you can love them, but you can't help them? Loving them is I want the very best for them. I do want the best for this evil person. I will be kind to this evil person. I will pray for this person. I will forgive this person, but I'm not the one who's going to help them because they've already determined that I am the one that's the problem because I'm bringing the truth that's violating their lie that they've bought into, and they want to hurt me. So I'm not going to be the one to help them. And we have evil people in our lives. This isn't just theory for me. Choosing to be a pastor, I have always had people who are evil in my life. Okay, I'm not paranoid, you know. There have just always been people that have wanted to silence me and have wanted to hurt me for whatever reason. And I'm not saying that I was ever not without any fault in those situations, but there's always been those people. And what I know now especially, is that when that person determines that I'm the evil one, I can't help them. So I know if the person's really bought the lie of the evil one and they're bent on hurting me, the best thing I can do is pray. And I pray. I sometimes pray harder for a person who I know is captured in evil than I do sometimes for the folks that are good and healthy and wise, because I know this person needs God to change their heart. I pray that God will change their heart, but I know that I can't be the one to do that. Because if I keep going back and trying to help them, all I'm doing when I give them a second chance and a third chance is I'm giving them a second and third chance to hurt me. That's what's going to happen in that situation. Again, we're always kind to evil people, but we don't engage with them. We don't give in to their demands. We don't try to reason with them. We don't give them another chance to hurt us. We stay away. We find a way to be safe. We block their number. We change the locks. That means they're probably a part of your family. It happens. You get a restraining order. I'm serious. And these aren't just my ideas. These are God's words. I want you to we're going to just stay in Proverbs today. And turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, page 297 in the Bibles and the seats in front of you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. 4:14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, evil, or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Go your own way. Listen, this is about evil people. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make somebody stumble. That's what an evil person's trying to do. They're trying to hurt you. They're trying to make you stumble. They're going to be persistent on it. So get out of the way. Get out of their, don't connect with them. Pull away as far as you can. Avoid them. They won't stop until they repent. If they truly repent, then of course engage with them. But not until they repent. And that's why we just pray that God will change their heart. And if, as you're listening to this, you're being honest in this moment and saying, maybe at least in a particular situation, that evil is me. That's the place you start is, God, change my heart. Help me to see the truth and not to buy the lie and change my heart. So that's evil. How do we respond to an evil who rejects the truth and wants to hurt the truth teller? We pull away. Now, what about the fool? Okay, that's that other category of person. There's a great proverb that describes a fool. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18, page 304. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. Proverbs 18:2. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Know anyone like that? See, a fool doesn't listen to the truth, but they're going to tell you what they think, what they want, what they think is right. They don't listen. They just give their opinions. They just focus on what they want. And they won't change when they hear the truth, but what they'll end up doing is blaming, even though they're struggling and there's problems, they'll end up blaming other people or the situations. We just know those people, and sometimes that's us. We're foolish. Sometimes it's others. I was in my first ministry. We'd been married a year. It was Easter time, which was the busiest time of the year next to Christmas. I was busy. In fact, I think even at that time I had broken my ankle, and which made life just even more challenging. And And this guy came to our church asking for help, and he told me his story. Man, he was an amazing communicator. I'll just jump ahead. He was a con man, and he was the best. And he told me his story, and he told it in a way. And remember, I'm in my second year of ministry, my first year of marriage. I'm a rookie. And he told his story in such a convincing way that he also told it in a way that he set it up so that I would not ask hard questions, because that would indicate that I didn't trust him. Very, very clever in how he did it. And then he was going to set up this center to help other people because of his experience, and he would ask for money. And we were poor as could be, but we had saved $240 in our savings so that we could buy my wife a sewing machine so that she could repair our clothes. We didn't have to go out and buy clothes all the time. She could repair them. And so I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to give our savings to this guy because he's going to do this great thing. And she said, no way. Now, I took that as my wife's selfish. She wants her sewing machine. I wasn't listening to her. I literally drove the guy to our bank, gave him the $240, and then after Easter was over and the busyness of that, I couldn't find him anywhere. What's really interesting is 6 months later, I was in a meeting with the other ministers of the area, and this one guy who'd been in ministry for 40 years told about this guy who had conned him. And then the next guy, and the next guy. Every person at the table had been conned by the same guy. Now, here's the deal. I didn't listen to my wife. I was foolish. But here's what happens. Wise people at least learn from their foolishness. You know what I learned from that? No matter who the person is, no matter what their story is, I have the right to ask hard questions. It served me the last 40 years. But I could have avoided that painful situation had I just listened to my wife. Moral of the story is, husbands, listen to your wife. If you tell the truth to a fool, they won't listen. If you tell what's reality, what's right, what's godly to a fool, they not only won't listen, but they'll blame you, they'll blame others. They won't own their problem. That's what fools do. They're defensive. They're angry. A fool is forever the victim. They want to change reality to fit what they want rather than face reality. They are experts at creating their own reality. They are experts at giving excuses. And because of all that, they create friction in relationships. And most of the time, they're not aware of the friction that they're creating. And when they are, they don't care. Know anyone like that? Are you ever like that? Here's our principle. When you think about a fool, come back to the principle. How a person reacts to the truth determines how you respond. So think about a fool. A fool doesn't listen. So if you are learning good peopling, that's what we're talking about, with a fool, here's what you do. You stop talking. Because they're not listening. Why do we keep talking if we know they're not listening? We have to change our method. And the method we use is actually a biblical method. It's a biblical strategy. Again, take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 19, page 304 also. Page 304, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19. A hot-tempered person, a fool, must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you will have to do it again. He's talking about a fool. You got to change your strategy. And the strategy that's here, the method is, let them pay the penalty. Let them deal with the consequences of their foolish behavior or their foolish decisions. I love the Bible. It is so wise. It is so practical. When we're dealing with fools, we got to let them pay the price, and then they're going to decide whether they want to change or not. Listen to this. There's very little hope of us helping an evil person. God can change them, but there's very little hope of us helping an evil person. But there is hope for a fool. We can help a fool, but we have to change how we approach it. We have to quit focusing on the problem. You know, we look at the fool and we see they're making bad decisions, they've chosen a bad lifestyle, and we focus on that problem. The problem isn't the problem. The problem is the pattern, and that's what we have to look at. And the pattern is they are not listening. Understand this. It isn't about the problem, it's the pattern. And the pattern is they're not willing to listen. That's the real problem. So we change our approach. Let me suggest a couple things in a better approach. Learning to people. If you're dealing with a fool, they won't listen, you keep talking, nothing changes, then stop and ask them this question. Simple question. How can I give you feedback that you will listen to? Now, if they're really foolish, I'll go, I don't care about listening to you. You have nothing to say to me. Okay, you're done. But that question just might change the conversation, because while you're moving it from the problem, whatever the problem is, to now the fact that they're not listening. And maybe they'll be open to hearing this. Maybe they're going to tell you that you could approach them in a different way that would be more helpful. Then that's great. But if not, if they just turn that off, then you've got another option. And with fools, you give fools limits and consequences. Quit talking, quit focusing on the problem, and you give them limits and consequences. Let me just give you an example. Let's say the person that's foolish is an addict. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be pornography, it could be spending, it could be any number of kinds of addiction or any other foolish behavior, and they won't stop. You have talked, you have nagged, you have threatened, you have gotten angry. Stop that. It's not working, right? So let's go a different way. Set limits. So with an addict, it might look something like this. That behavior is not acceptable in this house. It's not going to happen in our house. So you have two choices. You get sober, you get counseling, you whatever to deal with this, or you move out. Address it. And again, depending on, you know, there's a lot of situations and a lot of variables there. Address it. Or you move out. And if you choose not to address it and you choose not to move out, then I'm moving out. I've set the limits. I've set consequences. Here's the deal, and this is what the proverb said. Oftentimes, fools won't change until the pain is great enough to cause them change. That's fools. You don't have to do that with a wise person. Don't even try with an evil person. They'll really hurt you. But sometimes that's the only way a fool is willing to choose better, is when the pain is enough. Now, again, all of our situations are unique and complicated. And before you just run into setting those limits and those consequences, talk to some wise people to make sure that you've really thought through it and got all the help you can to do that. Now think about those of us who have children or grandchildren. Are children and grandchildren ever foolish? Yeah, that's why they have parents. One of our responsibilities as parents is not only to protect them, but also to teach them to be wise, because they are naturally foolish at times. That doesn't mean they're foolish in every way, but they're certainly that. And is there hope for our kids? Absolutely. Well, maybe not for all of them, but we teach our kids. We set good examples. We set rules of our house for them. But sometimes kids will be foolish, or grandkids, and will do what they want, not what we want, not what's right. They're not. In other words, there are times our kids are not listening and not obeying. That's just the reality. So what do we do with a foolish child? Set limits and consequences. Don't keep yelling and nagging and getting mad and set limits and consequences. Now, it would take a bunch of messages to talk about how to do that well. So we actually have a course called Love and Logic, which uses this principle. If you're a parent or a grandparent and you have not taken Love and Logic, I'm urging you to do so. We have trained over 1,800 parents and grandparents with Love and Logic. It's an incredible course, and it's going to start the very first full week of September, and we have a Sunday morning class at 12:45, afternoon class at 12:45, and a Wednesday night class at 6:30. So go online on our front page. At the top of the page, you'll see a bar that says classes. Click that, and there you can find out the details of when those classes start, what's involved, and you can sign up. I encourage you to sign up, because that's putting this principle of setting limits and consequences in our parenting with our kids. It's an incredible course. So the key peopling principle is this: how a person reacts to the truth determines how we respond. How a person reacts to the truth determines how we respond. That's what it means to learn to people well. We people well when we make the right response to how they're responding to the truth. So let me just give you a little homework. I want us to start with yourself. How do you respond to the truth generally? Generally, and then there may be a specific situation or a specific person or a specific event you want to look at. How are you responding to the truth? Are you responding like an evil person where you just reject it? Or are like a fool that, you know, just doesn't listen, just wants to stay in their own reality? Or are you wise and willing to at least listen to the truth, investigate it, and see how you might change and adjust? We want to be wise. And we want to respond wisely. You'll notice I haven't talked much about the wise today. We're going to spend all of next week, all of next Sunday, the message talking about wise. How to be wise or wiser, and how to respond to wise people. Because that's a whole different kind of response. We're going to unpack that more next week. But the homework right now is this. First, look at yourself. How do I respond to truth? And then secondly, start to look at people in your life, people in your family, friends, people you work with, go to school with, neighbors, whatever. Just start looking at how they respond to truth. Not to judge them, not even to respond to them necessarily, but just start in your mind, begin to realize that the Bible is so wise and right in saying that there are these three categories of people, and begin to identify that. And then we're going to keep working on how we respond well to each of those people. Learning to people is a process. You couldn't help but notice the large screen behind me, which isn't usually there. And the reason that screen is there is because this Thursday and Friday, we host the Global Leadership Summit. I think this is our 9th year. And the reason why we host the Global Leadership Summit every year is because we learn how to be wise and how to respond in wise ways. In the last couple years, we've learned about how, as a wise person, you accept and receive feedback. That's what wise people do. We've learned in the Global Leadership Summit about how to have crucial conversations. And so I'm only saying that to say is that that's another tool that helps us to learn to people well. And you still have time. You still have time to sign up. You can go onto our website and be able to do that and join us this Thursday and Friday. As we finish, can I pray? I want to pray because peopling is really hard. We're broken people. People push our buttons all the time. And then we react in ways that we don't like. And then we have broken people in our lives. And we want to help people. We want to do what Jesus asks us to do. We want to love. We want to love wisely. And it's so, so difficult. So let's ask for help. Father God, first we just confess that we're broken. We get hurt. We want to control situations that maybe we can't control. We just admit that sometimes we don't know how to respond. And then, God, there are people in our lives who are broken. God, I pray that for those people that we love and care about that are so broken, that you would just help us to know best how to respond. Not to judge, not to attack, but how to best help, if we can help. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to know the best wise way to love people. God, teach us to learn to people well. And we want to do that because we care deeply about those folks. And God, we want to do it because we want to reflect you to those people that do matter to us and who matter to you. And so God, help us, guide us, teach us. Help us to be open to learning new and different ways to people. In Jesus' name, we pray.